Welcome back to Music for Life, exploring the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. In this episode, we have been exploring compositions that were intended to serve as a teaching tool. We are exploring the great music of history that was written for educational purposes, not music as a mnemonic device to teach non-musical concepts, but music written for the musical or technical development of the performer. The great music teachers of history, who were also composers, created pieces to develop their young students. And some wrote pieces to refine professional performers. And they remain as some of the great repertoire still programmed today. In the first half of this episode, we talked about the Bible's many musical compositions written to teach both performer and listener. We had our backstage banter segment, where I talked with pianist, educator, and writer Mark Jenkins about why music students, pianists especially, have to play Bach in order to become better musicians. And then we talked about how so much of what Bach wrote was intended to educate his students. So he wrote it with those things in mind, actually. We talked about classical era composers like Haydn and Mozart who wrote music for their students. We talked about Beethoven who wrote several compositions for one of his students and a great patron of his, Archduke Rudolf of Austria. And then when we moved into the Romantic era, the era where audiences really wanted to see showy displays of technique, they wanted to see virtuosity, we started exploring composers who were writing etudes or studies, basically technical exercises, but that were written in a way that made them performable concert works. Before we finished the first half, we were talking about the etudes of Frédéric Chopin. Other significant etudes written for the piano at this time were by the legendary pianist, composer, and teacher Franz Liszt. He was a bit of a sensation in terms of his performing abilities. Liszt would even have a playoff with other virtuosos of his day. Liszt wrote a set of etudes called Transcendental Etudes. These were not actually dedicated to any students of his, but instead he dedicated them to his teacher, Karl Czerny, who had a profound impact on his development as both a pianist and teacher. Czerny was a student of Beethoven and one who forever shaped the way a piano would be played. If you're a piano student, perhaps you've seen that name, Czerny, on the cover of a book of scales and exercises. Czerny wrote numerous exercises for pianists and also published fingerings for Beethoven's sonatas. Through Czerny's influence, Liszt became not only a massively popular performer of his day and a respected composer, but a man who made most of his mark on music history, I believe, through his teaching. He had many students, and most of the great pianists of our day have teachers who had teachers who had teachers who were taught by Liszt. Let's listen to one of Liszt's Transcendental Etudes. Here is Transcendental Etude number 10 in F minor, performed by Yevgeny Kissin.
Thank you.
That was Transcendental Etude No. 10 in F minor by Franz Liszt, performed by Yevgeny Kissin. An etude means a study. It was a composition like an exercise. For some instruments, the etudes composed for them aren't necessarily performable pieces. They are more like exercises. But in the piano repertoire, they are usually performable concert works, like the one we just heard. This is also true of many guitar etudes. Here's an example of concert music that was also an etude performed by brothers Pepe and Celine Romero. They are playing Obbligato on Etude No. 5 in B minor by the early 19th century composer Fernando Sor, who wrote dozens of exercises, lessons, and studies for the guitar. That was a guitar duet performed by Pepe and Celine Romero, the Obbligato on Etude No. 5 in B minor by Fernando Sor. It was an example of an etude or a study that was composed in a manner that it was not just an exercise to be drilled in the practice room, but a performable piece to be showcased in front of an audience. Another composer of the Romantic era writing compositions specifically for students was a violinist by the name of Friedrich Zeitz. Violin students who go through the Suzuki Method books will be familiar with that name. He wrote 8 Schülerkonzerts, or pupils' concertos. Another composer who wrote a famous violin concerto that was also intended as a student concerto was Jean-Baptiste Acollet, a Belgian composer who lived from 1833 to 1900, and here is Itzhak Perlman playing the first movement of the Acollet Violin Concerto in A minor with the Juilliard Orchestra. Thank you. That was violinist Itzhak Perlman playing the Akule Violin Concerto in A minor with the Juilliard Orchestra. Akule wrote that as a student concerto. And we are talking about the impressive number of compositions that came into existence because composers were writing them for students, for developing musicians. Other notable composers who wrote specific groups of pieces for young, up-and-coming performers were Robert Schumann and Peter Tchaikovsky. Chances are, if you've been to a piano recital, you've heard The Soldier's March, First Loss, or perhaps Wild Horseman from Schumann's Album for the Young, a set of 43 short pieces written for his three daughters. Here is a piece from Peter Tchaikovsky's children's album titled The Lark Song. It is performed by Ina Heifetz. You are listening to Music for Life. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. And today we are talking about music for education, exploring repertoire that was intended to help educate, train, and develop the musician or performer. That was Ina Heifetz playing The Lark Song from a set of 24 pieces Tchaikovsky grouped as a children's album written for young piano students. In the 20th century, a composer who wrote a set of pieces for young pianists was the Hungarian composer Béla Bartók. He wrote a set of 153 short pieces in six volumes called Microcosmos. The first two volumes were dedicated to his son. They range from very easy, short beginner etudes to more difficult and more advanced technical requirements. The last two volumes are intended as performable pieces in a concert setting. And all these pieces are still used by piano teachers today. Bartók also wrote four volumes of short piano pieces titled For Children. Each piece is based on a folk tune, and we will talk about Bartók and his collection of folk music in another program. There was also another composer who wrote a similar set of works. He has a set of pieces called Album of Children's Pieces, then later a set called 30 Children's Pieces, and even later a set of 35 Easy Pieces. His name was Dmitri Kabalevsky, and every pianist and piano teacher will know that name because of all the pieces he wrote for students. He was a Russian composer who lived from 1904 to 1987. One of his significant contributions to music history was his consistent efforts to educate children about music. He did this both through composition and through his efforts to set up music education programs in 25 schools throughout Soviet Russia. He won numerous awards and honors in Russia for his efforts in music education. He was awarded the honorary degree of President of the International Society of Musical Education. His compositions aimed at educating young people were not just restricted to the piano. He wrote songs and choruses for children's ensembles as well. Three of his concertos, a piano concerto, a violin, and cello concerto, are dedicated to youth and are meant to be played by young musicians. We've heard a lot of piano music today. Here's the first movement of Kabalevsky's Cello Concerto, performed by Yo-Yo Ma with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Thank you.
That was the first movement of Dmitri Kabalevsky's Cello Concerto, performed by Yo-Yo Ma and the Philadelphia Orchestra under the baton of Eugene Ormandy. Kabalevsky is one of many composers throughout history who composed music for the express purpose of training the next generation of musicians and performers. His many piano pieces, children's choruses, and concertos were written for this purpose. And that is what we are exploring today on Music for Life. Music for education, music written as a teaching tool, or compositions meant to educate and develop the skills of the performer. Also in the so-called modern era, we have a British composer named Benjamin Britten. He wrote an orchestral piece, not written for student performers per se, but written for student listeners. It was to educate young people on the different parts of the orchestra. I referenced this piece in an earlier episode about the orchestra. Let's hear this piece now. It's Britten's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra with the composer conducting. Britten based this piece on a theme written by the Baroque English composer Henry Purcell. So this is a theme in variations, and the variations feature the different sections and individual instruments of the orchestra. I will actually interject the names of the instruments as they enter this piece. First, he introduces us to the wind section. Then we hear the brass section featured. Then the string section. Finally, the percussion section. Now one instrument at a time is introduced, starting with the flute. Then the oboe. Now the clarinet. And here's the bassoon. Now the violin section. Then the slightly lower viola section. And now the cello section. Then the double basses. And now the harp. Then we move over to the French horn. Now the trumpet. And the trombone. Here's the tuba. Here's the timpani part of the percussion section. And now the other members of the percussion section. And now, starting with the flute, he goes back through each solo instrument of the orchestra in a fugue or a complex round. Thank you. So that was Benjamin Britten's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. That was him conducting the London Symphony Orchestra in that recording. Next, let's move into our Classroom Corner segment. This is where we usually explore different methods and curricula for introducing young people to music. But this entire episode has been much like a classroom corner. So today for this segment, I want to do something slightly different. We've been talking about music that was written to educate its students in the particular instrument they're learning. But music lessons can teach us more than just music. I'm not talking about music being a mnemonic device for learning other academic concepts. It can teach us things about life itself. For today's Classroom Corner, we will hear an essay from a 17-year-old piano student on how certain things she's learned about playing the piano apply to the school of life. So here to give us Piano Keys to Life, Alexa Turgeon.
I'm 17 and have played piano for about 12 years. I've received a lot of useful instructions from my piano teacher, and the more I've reflected on them, the more I've realized that they are also valuable lessons for life in general. Here are four instructions I commonly receive in piano that also apply to life. The first thing I hear a lot is that the melody must be the loudest. In life, this means you must prioritize. With piano, no matter how many busy things are in a piece, it's important to be able to hear a main theme. Likewise, there are parts of life that must be the most present, prioritized, and emphasized. There are other elements in music, and life, that add nicely to the tapestry, but they must never overpower the melody. If you can't hear the main theme clearly, the piece is confusing and not as enjoyable as it could be. Without priorities, our lives can also be confusing and far less enjoyable. The second thing I hear a lot in piano lessons, loosen up. It's so easy to hold tension when playing piano. I once played Chopin's Butterfly Etude, which was almost exclusively octaves in the right hand, and I held tension in my wrist instead of keeping it loose and floppy. As a result, playing the piece not only hurt, but I also had trouble getting it up to speed. In life, I've learned if we get set in our ways, we get slowed down. We can't get caught up in doing things a certain way. We must always be ready to change things up to get better results. If we are too stiff and refuse to change, it will really hurt our progress. The third instruction I have, put your weight into it. Certain parts of pieces simply can't be as loud as the composer intended if the pianist doesn't fully lean into the keys. Putting your weight into playing is the difference between playing all right and being impressively deafening. In life, the same rule applies. We have to put all of our effort into everything we do. We can't just go through the motions. I've learned that if we throw ourselves into every activity, the results will be impressively powerful. The fourth and final lesson I've learned from playing the piano. Accuracy is more important than speed. Playing fast is great, but if playing fast means messing up more, missing notes, or losing all musicality, then it's more beneficial to slow down just a little bit and take the time to play everything correctly. I've learned the same in life. Don't rush through things just to finish them quickly. We should strive to do everything as perfectly as possible. Any sane person would rather see work done well than work done quickly. Of course, as in piano too, if you can do things rapidly as well as accurately, that's even better. So, if life gets a little hectic, if it's hard to keep focused, make sure the melody is the loudest, that the priorities are right. That will clear up all confusion. If you feel stuck, like you can't get any better in a certain area, loosen up and try to do things differently. It could even speed up your progress. When you do anything in life, put your weight into it. That can maximize your results. And remember, accuracy is more important than speed, so take the time to do things right. These are four piano keys to life that I've learned. There are many more keys, probably even over 88. But hopefully, these few will be a good start to playing life more beautifully.
You are listening to Music for Life, exploring the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm your host, Ryan Malone. This is KPCG. You can follow this show on Twitter for extra announcements and cool links. Follow at Music for Life PCG. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching Music for Life or searching Philadelphia Church of God, the organization that sponsors this station and this program. Please consider rating and or reviewing the program there as well. Now it's time for our dessert, where we end the program usually with an example from the popular or folk tradition. Earlier, we talked about a famous Chopin etude, a piece written as a study or exercise for the performer and yet still written to be enjoyable by the listener. Though most of his etudes are of a quicker tempo, we listen to one that is slow and well known for its melody. That was the Chopin Etude in E, Opus 10, No. 3. This particular melody has been adapted by several different popular artists throughout the 20th century. The song Never Again, recorded by the Leroy Holmes Orchestra and Chorus. The Joe Stafford hit from 1950, No Other Love. The song So Deep Is the Night, recorded by Ken Dodd. Divina Ilusión by Jose Jose, and This Day of Days by Jerry Vale. But we are going to listen to an adaptation of this melody that turned it into a tango. This particular song is called La Melodía del Corazón, and it was recorded in 1940 by the orchestra of Edgardo Donato with the singer Romeo Gavioli. We will jump right in where Chopin's famous tune is heard.
Amores tuve yo y en ninguno yo encontraba la dulzura que soñé, ya que en cambio solo hallé la falsía despreciable que mi alma endureció. A la vida retorné cuando tu carita de ángel en mi vida se cruzó y encauzaste mi existencia por la senda que jamás la dejaré. Porque tu amor, dulzura y fe, retrajo a mí las ansias de vivir. En paz con Dios, paz que tanto ambicionaba, sol de afecto que anhelaba y que fue canción triunfal de amor, que en su esplendor toma forma de melodía que mi corazón canta feliz.
You have been listening to Music for Life. From the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus, I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.